your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with a coughing Becky Ivins.
Oh, man. Allergies are getting
the
to me, Mark.
Allergies have you in their grasp this morning.
I know. So I've had a good week. We spent a couple of nights socializing with friends, going out to dinner and stuff. And yesterday I had a listing appointment that was a social appointment, it turns out. It was very fun talking with one of our faithful listeners and talking about a possible downsize. And so their assignment this week is to go and see certain things. And they're very solid financially, so they can afford villas to where they can go, like little houses.
Yeah.
They're not, some of them aren't so little. I mean, Epworth has a 2,500 square foot villa.
Boy, I mean, you talk about still a very popular style of home that typically kind of sell very quickly, or the villa within Oklahoma market, because there's only little pockets around with these little gated communities, and some of them are 55 plus, some of them aren't, but.
Right. Well, and when I say Epworth Villa, that is part of their
the Epworth,
CCRC
yeah.
neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they are, it's just part of their retirement community, whereas most people get an apartment in the big building. They also have on campus some villa-style homes, and they're not for sale. I mean, you pay monthly for those, and there's a buy-in and stuff, but it is, those are so nice. So anyway, I look forward to maybe joining them on a tour to be able to see that. That would be kind of fun.
That would be a fun day.
Great people. I miss that. I don't go out on as many appointments as I once did because, as I say, I bring in the young guns to actually do the footwork. And so I'm more of the troubleshooter, trainer to the real estate team. But Judy went on a cruise, and so somebody had to go out on those listings. So I did it, and it was fun. I enjoy that.
Well, it's always fun when we get connected with someone who has been listening.
And right. Like
somebody says, well, we've been listening every week. Oh,
yeah.
It's always fun.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Melody.
There you go. And if any one of you want to join the conversation today, you can. The call-in number is 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. We'd love to hear from you.
What are we talking about today, Mark?
Today we're going to talk about as-is contracts. So
a very good topic. I will tell you, I put a couple of houses on the market, one of them a week ago, one of them almost 2 weeks ago, and both of them need work. Habitable, but not in really good condition. I mean, anybody on either of those houses would go in and put new flooring in, probably put paint in. You know, interior paint, replace some rotted wood on one of them. We got multiple offers. And I say that, dragging that out Oklahoma style, multiple, because there were many offers on both of those properties. And one of them we still don't have sold yet, because it is, each contract's just a little bit different. And so I thought we would talk about all of them were as-is contracts. And they'll go as-is, and some of them will go as-is, where is, and some of them will go purchasing as-is with seller making no repairs. Well, if you know our contract, that doesn't really matter what you put in there as-is if you don't strike out paragraph 7.
Right.
Which has all of the inspection, investigations, and review guidelines. And if you don't strike that from the contract, it's not an as-is contract with a seller making no repairs.
So let's start there, Becky, with all of our contracts really are as-is contracts. There's nothing that forces a seller to make updates or repairs on their property. Is that correct?
That is true. Most of you will remember when we had a repair cap of a certain amount of money, a blank in the contract where you would fill it in, where there was a repair cap, meaning that usually the first $100 or $200 was on the buyer to pay, just kind of a deductible of sorts. And then they had a certain amount, say $1,000 as a repair cap, meaning the seller would pay.
So a seller would say up front that our maximum we're going to pay for repairs, treatments, repairs, and replacements
is
$1,000 or X amount, whatever that amount is.
Right. Okay. Well, when our contracts changed, they changed not obligating the seller to pay anything. So the seller can purchase the home and then turn around and say, well, it is the buyer can purchase the home. I misspoke. And just do an as is. But if it's still subject to repairs or investigations,
inspections,
well, that might uncover something else.
Yeah.
So do you want to buy? I would not buy as is without an inspection. I want to know what's wrong with the house. And I want to know, is there mold somewhere? Is there an asbestos remediation I'm going to have to go through? I mean, I just need a clear picture. And most homes I would buy as is, because I've done a lot of supervising of updates and repairs and actually built a couple of houses. But you have to have that knowledge base of the inspections. In a competitive market, sometimes a seller will go with one with an offer that does not ask for inspections rather than one that asks for inspections but doesn't obligate the seller for repairs.
We would love to hear from you, listener. Would you buy a house without an inspection? Dum, dum, dum. On the line now, we have our money man, Matt McLean.
NMLS number
1197740.
Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
You're doing crazy, crazy on those insurance claims, aren't you? Just a lot of insurance claims being filed.
Yeah, and your show last week covered that, didn't it?
Well, it did, but how's that affected by the mortgage company?
Well, the policy, we're named as an insured as well, along with the client or with the borrower. So depending on the amount of the claim, that check may have to be endorsed by the lender as well or by SWBC if we are their lender. The cutoff, you know, it changes, but it's usually somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000. So if it's more than that, then we're going to have to endorse that check, and we may require inspections.
If you have a mortgage with a mortgage company of any size substantial, say if it's a five-digit figure, you're likely going to have that insurance check will be made payable to you, Mark Carr, and to SWBC Mortgage. So, but then the check has to be sent over to SWBC to be signed, endorsed over, and then they send it back to you, and then you pay the roofer.
Or who? Correct. So I don't get to run to the Caribbean with that roof money. And
well, sometimes the lender will release part of the money, and then after the roof is completed, they actually go inspect it to be sure it got done. So the last couple of roofs that we had put on, one of them was $70-some thousand. And the one after that, about 2 years later, after a big hailstorm, it was like $140-some thousand claim. But the roof was still, you know, in that, I can't remember, probably $50,000 or $60,000 range.
My. That would take me to the Caribbean, maybe to Europe. with that.
I know, right?
So, Matt, what's happening? Yeah, Matt, what's happening in the market this week?
You know, it's kind of quiet this week, guys, so not much change to interest rates. Maybe just a slight increase, but we remain in that 7% range, perhaps high sixes, low sevens. But I will tell you, we don't hear the pushback that we were hearing a year ago. I think clients and customers have kind of settled into this environment, and they're moving forward with purchasing a home.
Well, that's great to hear. If you want to reach out to Matt McLean, Dean Riddell at SWBC Mortgage, you can give him a call at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's Favorites. You'll see him right at the top. As always, thank you, Matt McLean.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. If you want to call in and join the conversation today, the number is 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. We have Brett on the line. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, sir. Hey, thanks for what you guys do. Enjoy the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much for listening. How can we help you today?
Hey, just a question. If, you know, with all this hail damage that we've had in the area, where's the best place to get advice on whether to pull the trigger and file a claim, or is that talk to my agent or my roofer? Who do you guys recommend?
Well, let me go into that exactly. And actually, Mark's going to tell you how to get to the podcast that we did last week on this, because it was full of information. What I do on my properties, I called my roofer first. And I use Larry Robbins, and I'll give you his phone number, because he'll come out and evaluate your property and tell you whether or not it should be paid by the insurance company, or if it's worth filing a claim. You'll need to know whether you've got an actual cash value or replacement value insurance policy, and you'll want to know what your deductible is. And then, so call Larry Robbins, and that's 405-728-3700, and he will come out and look at your roof. If it has enough hail damage to warrant an insurance claim, then you file an insurance claim. And if it doesn't, he'll tell you that, you know, this is lost granules, it's old, but, and it's got minimal in hail damage on it.
Okay.
Or, yeah, so that's the place I start. Then you call your insurance agent. Let's just say Larry says, yes, it's got damage, you need to file an insurance claim. Then you call your agent and you file the claim. Now, I don't know about other brands of insurance. I think this is pretty much across the board, but you verify with your insurance agent. My insurance agent's with State Farm. And if your claim is attached to a catastrophic event, as in timeline, like hailstorm, and you file a claim and the insurance comes out and goes, well, you know, your deductible's $4,000 and you've got like $3,500 worth of damage, that's going to be out of pocket. Filing that claim does not go against you on filing insurance claims for future rates and premium amounts. If attached to a catastrophic event. I did not know that. And so I probably should have known that. Maybe it's a change recently. But again, that's my State Farm agent, Brad Russell. But you may have a different type of insurance. So check and see if it counts against you. You can get your insurance canceled if you file too many claims. And sometimes two is too many. You know?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So that would be the thing. But should you fix it or sell as is with an insurance with hail damage? Well, what do you think, Mark? Should you fix it?
Yes, absolutely. That hail damaged roof needs to be fixed.
Well, because you can't get insurance on that roof if it's full of hail holes, right?
Yep.
and your mortgage company is going to require that you get insurance on that house. It's hard to financially, buyers can buy houses and go, well, I'll put the roof on. That's going to be $19,000. I'll do that after I buy it. But they can't get insurance on that roof. Now, we've had people buy homes as is and put a roof on it after closing. The house is insured, but the roof is not insured until the new roof goes on and the mortgage company comes out and checks it. So they have people, adjusters that come out to check just to be sure that you've got the roof on there. Because your mortgage requires you keep that weather tight. You can't, you know, they can call your mortgage due if you don't do the things that your mortgage says. You can't cook meth in a house, or they can call your mortgage due. So, you know, there's different things in that mortgage.
Brett, let me give you a couple places you can go to. Listen, last week we dealt the whole show with roofing claims with State Farm agent Brad Russell, and you can go to BeckyIvins.com and click on radio. It'll be on the far right as you go to the homepage, and you can listen straight from there, or it'll take you to Spotify or Apple iTunes, and you can listen through the podcast version. And I encourage you to listen to that whole show. It'll be right on the mark for you.
So
wonderful. Thank you, guys.
That was a great call. Thank you, Brett. Okay, we're talking as is. What's your question? I'll answer it.
So the question, we kind of dipped our toe into it with that call, was should you fix something or should you sell it as is? Should you update or fix, repair, or just sell it as is?
Typically, if it is a repair of something that is intended to work a certain way and it doesn't, or like a major system of the house, maybe the hot water tank is shot. Maybe the electrical system doesn't work. I started to list a house yesterday, and it was the electricity doesn't work on one side of the house. They said, that's okay. We just use extension cords to the other side of the house. Well, no, dude. Call Hayes Electric and get that thing fixed because it's hard to sell a house like that.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the money to do that, that is something that I do. I will loan up to 2% of the price of the house. If you have good equity in it, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to. I do want my money back.
Right. I mean, they're using the equity within their home in order to.
Right.
Fix it, and we're able to help them with that.
Right. And so, you know, sometimes you don't know who to call to repair something, and other times you don't have the funds up front to do it. So if you're selling your house, I can help you with that. I'm not a lender to just help with home improvements or repairs. But if it's in conjunction with us listing and selling your home, we do have a program for that. So that might be helpful to somebody, because most people just don't know who to call. And they don't know what it's going to cost, so they're afraid to call anybody. So they put it off, and then they put their house on the market and have a hard time selling it because it needs a roof, it's got a cracked shower door, and the electric doesn't work in the master. I mean, that's a lot, right?
I know when I was walking, when you were walking me through with listings, and you know, you went over the because once somebody decides to put their house on the market, you don't want them spending money on things that are not going to actually improve the sale of their home. And I remember you told me three reasons. See if I can remember these off the top of my head over here, is that if it's going to make it sell for more, if it's going to make it sell faster, you want to do it. Or if it shows that there may be another problem having, like, for example, if they have a stain on the ceiling from a previous water leak, should they fix that?
Well, and yes, and you should paint it too, so that people aren't afraid to buy your roof. But the stoppers is the one thing. I call them stoppers. It's going to stop someone from being interested in your home. If it's going to stop anyone from being interested, except for an investor that picks up major good deals, if you don't mind taking a lower price for your house because of the condition, that's okay. I mean, call me. I have a plethora of investors who purchase homes. I'm an investor. I purchase homes. So if you just want a quick, easy deal, I'm happy to do it, but you're not going to get full price. You're going to get a reduced price. I mean, that just kind of makes sense. But if it is a functional item of the home, a system of the home, like the roof system that keeps the rain out, like the electrical system that runs everything, maybe there's a sump pump and you've got a, you know, a storm cellar or a storm shelter that has water in it, that has a sump pump where it just isn't working. Well, get a new sump pump. I mean, you know, and again, if you're listening with us and you have a sump pump problem, I'm going to front the money for you if you don't have it.
I think what happens most of the time, Becky, is people think about cosmetic stuff first. Like they,
I know. People,
they want to, do. Should I paint the wall because it's a...
That's just, exactly.
Yeah.
Mark, they think about painting before they think about cleaning. Yeah. That's a problem right there.
That's why we're here to help, and we're glad that you're with us. We'll be right back after the news on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins. And it is time for our word of the day. Come on, baby, tell me what's the word. I wait up. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you got to get it underway. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700.
Just a reminder, if you've not filed a roof claim, now would be the time.
It is the time to give them a call.
Okay, our word of the day today is more of a term. And the term is as is, where is. You see this on real estate contracts. But what does it really mean? Well, it really means that it's being sold in its current condition, whatever this condition happens to be, that you're not going to fix anything. You're going to buy the structure, the real property, the land, and the structures on it in their as-is condition. I mean, without just current condition.
So just putting the term as-is on a contract, does it mean that the buyer is not able to investigate?
Well, it kind of depends on how you do that. If we have a client interested in purchasing as is, we always encourage inspections so that you know what you're buying. But in a year ago, it was hard to get a property if you had inspections as a part of your package of purchasing that home. So a lot of people bought as is, where is, and they found some surprises sometimes. But if you can purchase with, like when someone puts as is, where is in a contract and does not strike out paragraph 7, which is the investigation, inspection, and review paragraph, if they don't strike that out, it doesn't mean that they're going to purchase the home. All it means is that their intent is not to ask for any repairs. But if they find something, they can opt out. Because after you do your investigations, inspections, and reviews, then you can you've got a couple choices. You can either make a list of things that you want the seller to fix, and then you start that negotiation and present a list to the seller, or you accept it as it is without any repairs. Then you still have to issue that TRR in that regard. And the TRR is?
Treatment, repair, and replacements.
There's a form that's called Notice of Treatment, Repairs, and Replacements. We call it the TRR. It's a list of items that the buyer and the seller have negotiated for the seller to have repaired prior to closing. By the way, we also ask for those repairs to be done 3 business days before closing. Because if you do that, you have a chance to, you don't want to reinspect on the, as you're walking through the house to go to closing. You need to have time for you to get another estimate if it's not done right.
Yeah.
Now, we love not doing repairs. we would rather settle for a dollar figure and
absolutely
reduce the price of the house or pay part of the buyer's closing cost, have the seller do that. Because the worst case scenario is the seller spends $1,300 doing something to that's on this list. And then the buyer walks through and it's not done to their satisfaction or it wasn't worded real right, you know, correctly. And the seller fixed something and spent the money and took the time to meet repairmen and stuff, but it wasn't what the buyer wanted done.
I have this conversation with buyers and sellers often because if you just pause and think about the mental framework of the seller and the buyer, the seller's mental framework is they don't want to spend anything because they're leaving that property.
Right.
And then the buyer's mental framework is they want everything done perfectly because they are just starting this journey at this property.
You know something? I had a listing that was, let's just say it was $180,000. I don't want to identify the listing, but it needs a lot of updates and stuff, and a lot. And it's a nice Edmond property, so everybody wants it, but they want it for pennies on the dollar. And this one realtor said, well, yeah, but the buyer thinks they're going to have to spend like $25,000 once they move in. So we want to offer like $110,000. And I said, and once the buyer does that $25,000 repair and purchases the home for $110,000, what do you think that home's going to be worth? She said, oh, I've comped it out. It's worth $225,000. It's going to be worth $225,000. I said, that's why the seller's not going to take your offer. They know what this problem. They will reduce it slightly, but they're not going to be stupid about it. It's in a great neighborhood. So anyway.
Yeah. And that's, when it comes to repairs, I talk to buyers all the time of going, if you think it from the seller's perspective, do you think they will do the job as best as they can or for the least amount as they can?
Then the buyer comes back and says, who are you working for, me or the buyer or the seller? You know, well,
I'm working for you, dear buyer, providing services for you. And part of that is my experience. My experience is most of the time, I have found it's better for the seller to give the dollar amount for the buyer to fix it.
Right. And, you know, we could get into how the contract's written and stuff. You cannot hand over cash to a buyer at closing if there's a mortgage involved. If there's no mortgage, you can do what you want to. But my rule as the broker in our office, if it's anything to do with that transaction, it has to be line item on the settlement statement. Mm-hmm. I do not allow outside the contract settlements on things.
Well, and this is a big deal for real estate because part of what we are agreeing to at the title company is there is no outside deal happening. Everything that's happening is at the title table.
You agree with the state of Oklahoma that you're not going to defraud a mortgage company.
Right.
Felony and jail time and money paid if you do that. You can't do things outside the contract. So the as-is contract is ripe with issues with that, with things happening outside the contract. Yeah. So we just don't want that to happen. You need your record on your settlement statement.
So with as-is contracts, now, it's not just the buyer that may ask for something on a treatment, repair, and replacement, but if they are getting a loan, the appraisal may ask for things to be repaired in order for it to meet appraisal price. How is that handled?
Well, that's the underwriter actually asking. It's listed on the appraisal, and the underwriter at the mortgage company can actually overrule that or ask for things to be added to it even. So that's kind of one of those things to where everyone says, well, the appraiser's requiring this. Well, it really is the underwriter at the mortgage company. The appraiser is saying, if this is done, the property will be worth this much money. But they don't do, for a mortgage company, they don't do an as-is appraisal because conforming mortgages aren't written as-is property. They want that property to be weather tight. They want the electricity to be working on both sides of the house, you know.
So what are, like there's a couple things. What are some most common things that are asked to be fixed on an appraisal?
Peeling paint on the exterior of the home. That is a very common thing. Broken window panes. There are, like, if there's obvious cracks and they may require an engineer's report to be sure it's structurally sound. If carpet is, this is one that people just don't realize. If there is carpet in the home on part of the house and maybe some dogs have done their outside business. Work inside, their business inside. And you get this with elderly people a lot with little tiny dogs. And the older person can't walk fast enough to get that little dog to the back door. Mm-hmm. And there's just a string of little messes, stains on the carpet. Well, so they tear up part of the carpet, the worst part, and just tell the buyer, oh, I'll buy you new carpet or whatever. Well, if it's a trip hazard where that is, you're not going to get that done.
Yeah.
The appraiser is going to point it out to be required by the underwriter.
I know that the underwriter, what they're looking for mostly is safety issues, security issues. And one of the things that surprised me when I dove into this years ago was fences. Like if you have a missing or gap in fence, it could be called for. Because of security.
Well,
because of being having secured yard with it.
Each appraiser is a little bit different, so they're not uniform, which is very
right.
difficult. People go, well, will it sell FHA? And sometimes I'll go, well, it would have to have repairs, and the seller's not going to do repairs. Yeah. Will it sell VA? Well, it's going to have a new roof, and the seller's not going to put a new roof on. So it likely would not finance FHA or VA.
Well, and that's one of the things as a seller, if you're wanting to find the most competitive offer, you want it to be able, you want the majority of people to be able to make an offer on it, whether they have a conventional loan, FHA loan, or cash.
Right.
In order to have, hopefully, multiple offers, which is always a great thing for a seller to have multiple offers.
Well, that's a really good thing for multiple offers.
Yeah. We'll be back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd, just west of Meridian, and in Yukon on Route 66.
Okay. Well, our smoking hot deal, I'm going to tell you first about two houses that we're going to hold open tomorrow. One of them is a great big house, and bedrooms and bathrooms, Mark.
Yeah, four bedrooms, three bathrooms. I will be there tomorrow from 2 to 4. It's in Still Meadows, which is just north of Gilordia, just north of 164th and MacArthur.
Okay. And
or just south of 164th and MacArthur. There we go. It's between
go.
150th
yeah.
and 164th.
Okay. And then that's a great big house.
Yeah.
And then we've got a brand new house on 63rd Terrace. Have you seen that one?
I have, yeah.
And it's built by Ron James.
Yep.
And Ron James Designer Homes is just that. You have to look at the details. It is everything you would want in a home. I think it's $425,000. It is in Blackwood Farms at Riverbend. Nice big three-car garage, nice deep garage. Don't have to worry about getting a vehicle in there. And it's kind of a shaker style house. It's just beautiful.
Just under 2,500 square feet, three bedrooms, two and a half bath.
And an extra big patio that's covered. So Joe's going to be at that location, I think, tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. And then let me tell you about a fixer-upper. If you want a fixer-upper, I have got a 701 Mallard Drive in the Swan Lake Edition to Edmond. And it is a three-bed, two-bath, two-car, nice big garage, and covered patio. It's nice house. Probably should sell for in about $225,000, $230,000. It's priced at $175,000 so that you're able to do the new flooring and new appliances and stuff like that. So it's such a solid neighborhood that someone will want to put their own touches on this.
If any of those are ringing your bell, you can go to BeckyIvins.com. You can click on search listings. You can take a virtual tour for yourself or give us a call at the office at 405-722-3232.
There you go.
There okay. we go. All right. So, Becky, we're kind of finishing up this conversation about as is. What do you do if someone wants to purchase as is without an inspection?
Well, we help them write the offer. But there is a form that we have them sign, and it is, for your protection, get a home inspection. So you can purchase as is. We're advising to get a home inspection. And it's I think it was an FHA form originally as to get a home inspection. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get a home inspection, but we want to be sure that you know that you've got the option when purchasing to get a home inspection.
Well, and one of the misconceptions out there is that the appraisal is going to look over it, so maybe it'll be just fine.
Well, I will tell you, on the government appraisers do look for some different things at times, and they look to be sure that the major systems are working. If they note that the water will not get hot, or that there's no water coming out of a faucet or something, it's a very minimal condition. It's kind of like looking at you and going, yeah, I don't see any leprosy, so you're good, you know, on a medical thing. Well, if you do a home inspection, they delve into all the major systems. An appraiser looks for value and points out anything that would be keep the home from being that value.
Yeah. Well, and the water drainage is a really good example of this where, an appraiser will make sure that the water comes on, but the inspector will turn on all the water and say, is it draining in the right amount of time, or is there something possibly hindering a pipe somewhere? And so they look more in depth, and it would be really important to know if you have roots in your sewer system.
Yeah, or a critter. I've had a critter in a sewer system before that stopped it up.
We have critters in Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah. I'm afraid we do.
So we have someone who wants to purchase as is. Let me ask you this. This will hopefully not throw you a curve, but have you ever bought as is without an inspection?
Without an inspection. Yes, I did. I bought two houses without inspections. And one of them was a HUD repo house. And the utilities aren't on. They don't let you turn. Back then, they didn't let you turn the utilities on. So you bought and just made a bid, a sealed bid. And that was a duplex in Norman some 30 years ago. And I still own it.
Yep.
And then another one was that little house in Bethany that actually I just put under contract, but it was purchased at a sheriff's sale. And you don't get to inspect those. Now, luckily, several months before that property went up for sheriff's sale, I went out on a listing. So I knew it had a new kitchen. I knew it had new windows. There's things that had been done to that house that the average person would not know. So I got a really good buy on that one.
Yeah.
So, but I had to buy it as is because at sheriff's sale, you don't get to have the utilities on and do inspections. But you get typically you get a pretty good buy on those properties.
Do you get to look through it or is it just?
No. No.
So you're really blind.
HUD repossessions. HUD. VA repossessions, you do get to look through those. At a sheriff's sale, Unless something has changed, you do not get to look inside. And that's what I mean by that house in Bethany. I was able to look inside because I went out on a listing. And sadly, those folks did not take action. They could have, they had equity in their house had I been able to sell it. So
I had helped a family member purchase through, it was a VA foreclosure and purchase, and it was, they were selling as is. And, but my family member of this had the skill system in order to deal with the repair issues, deal with everything that needed to be done.
Well, I mean, if it was my daddy or one of my brothers buying a house, they know, I mean, they've built houses, they've repaired everything. Mm-hmm. So that way, you know, we end up having the skills to handle almost anything.
Yeah.
And you've got to have money set aside to take advantage of the goodbye. It's not a goodbye if you leave it in its current condition and it just further deteriorates.
Well, and that's the conversation I have with buyers all the time is like, how much work do you want to put in to building equity within your home with sweat equity, with how much things you want to repair?
Some people live month to month on a certain amount of money, and if you can make the payment, you do it. And other people are of the mind, well, get it paid for so you don't have to pay the interest and you can have a lot more money to spend, right? So it kind of depends on what that is. I was brought up with do it yourself and don't pay anybody interest.
Yeah.
So you tend to accumulate a few things along the way when you're not paying interest. You save up the money first and then buy it, as is buyers that are smart do that.
I know when you're looking at a house of that needs to be updated, there's the big things like air conditioner, water heater, those sort of things that people always go to. But I found with you, you often look at the windows.
I love looking at the windows because they're expensive if to replace. But if you're going to hold a property for very long, you need it to be watertight. And you need it not to have fogged up windows that somebody can't see out of and that have lost their energy seal, that kind of thing.
Do you have a certain like just time frame that you want them to be past 1990 or built, or do you just look at them and make sure they're tight, make sure they're working as they should be?
It doesn't windows? Matter to me when I buy. I'll buy anything that's a good property.
So listener, thanks for being with us this week. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can go to iTunes, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, anywhere that you do podcast. Look up Becky Ivins, and it'll pop right up. Hit subscribe, and why don't you give us 5 stars while you're there? We would love it.
Thank you.
Have a great week.
And may all of your hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes